up, Nebraska? It's your boy Go Big Ready, and we are back with another Corn Hub Pod. As always, thank you for listening. Thank you for tuning in, supporting your boy. I told you that we're going to be back on this grind, and we're going to keep doing it better, badder, bigger, more, faster, stronger. I don't know what we're going to be doing, but we're here. We got the podcast up and going, and it's mainly because the offense spoke to the media today, and the media even got a little sneak peek of what to expect from Nebraska today. So basically, the media got to go watch, like, I think 10 plays today. And since we're Nebraskan, obviously, we're going to freak out. We're going to dissect every little bit of it, okay? There was a clip of just a simple pass from 2 a.m. to Omar Manning. That was maybe 10 yards. Not even that I freaked out about, that I'm excited about. There was a ball from Heinrich Harburg that was kind of overthrown that we're not even going to acknowledge that, but Samori Toure came down with a crazy grab, you know? There's so much to be excited about right now. And you know what? My last pod, yeah, I said the offense really doesn't have an identity, but I'm pretty sure the identity relies around this wide receiver core, this group that you got, what, five dudes that are all over 6 foot, where last year that was unheard of, or the past few years that was unheard of. You know, you didn't know what to expect from this football team or what to expect from this squad. And I'm glad to know that, hey, we got something going with these dudes. We got something that can get us excited, that, yo, we know we aren't going to be able to maybe run the football the first few weeks, or we might be able to, but hey, we know we got some dudes that are going to be able to catch the ball. And I love that. That makes me super excited. We also got some quotes from offensive coordinator Matt Lubick, you know? And since the rushing attack, we don't really know what's happening with that. It was nice to hear and nice to know that, yo, even Lubick knows that the finding the number one running back is important, and finding it sooner rather than later is very important. Just listen.
No, we're only, I think today was practice five, so we're kind of getting into it, and we'd like to get a definite one and then a two, and the reason that is just so we can give him more of the reps, especially, like, right now we're installing our whole offense. We're exposing him to everything, but once we really start paring it down and doing the Illinois game plan, you want to have ones, not just at his position, but every position, and you want to have twos, but the ones need a lot of reps. And so we're working on that, and yeah, sooner is always better than later, but we're very early into camp.
Sooner is always better than later. Time is of the essence for this squad, and the coaching staff knows this, the players know this. They know that, yo, there's competitions going right now, but decisions are going to be made really, really soon. And you know what? There's probably going to be a front runner, and his name, it goes by Marquise Fookin Step.
Yeah. Well, coming into this fall, we kind of thought, yeah, that was limited reps. Let's see what he can do. We don't want to rush him back too soon, but see how he progresses. And he's been doing better than we thought as far as his health. So, yeah, I don't know. That's kind of a practice by practice. I think he's ready to roll. You know, in a scrimmage, if we had to play tomorrow, he'd be ready to roll. So we feel good about that. And yeah, he's kind of progressed a little bit faster than we thought he would from a health standpoint.
That's so good to hear. I mean, I know Lubick didn't say that Step is the front runner, but everyone's focused on Step. Step is the transfer from USC. Yeah, he's had injury problems. Yeah, he even came here and he had an injury that he had to get fixed. But yo, Step is healthy. He's not on a pitch count. And he's who I believe is the front runner for Nebraska to be at running back. Okay, so now let's talk about the kind of traits Lubick wants to see for a running back at Nebraska.
Consistency, and that's not just a running back. That's every position. You know, who can we count on to do the right assignment? We ask our running backs to do a lot. We ask them to pass protect. We ask them to run down the middle. We ask them to catch balls. So who can do that the best on a consistent basis? And that's really every position. You know, that's the quarterback, that's the offensive line, that's the receiver as well.
That That's the main thing that I heard out of this is consistency, 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 consistency. We need it out of every position, but especially the running back position, because like I said in my last podcast, we need a running back that is just going to be able to allow Adrian and the wideouts and Austin Allen or Vokolek take a play off. Just allow them to be able to take two, maybe three plays off a drive that they know, yo, we're going to give the ball to our workhorse and he's going to get us 2, 3, 4, maybe 5 yards. And that'll go such a long way for the Huskers. Because you know what? TD passes have been really hard to get by for the Huskers. And I mean, if we were getting inside the 10-yard line, I just want to be able to know that, yo, we can pound the rock right now with this dude and hopefully get to the one. And you know what? Set up a play action or something. And even though I don't want that, it's just, it's nice to know that, hey, Lubick knows that we need a workhorse right now. And he's searching for that. He's searching for that stallion as we speak. But let's talk about touchdown passes and the red zone. And let's just listen to Lubick talk about how or why TD passes have been just so hard to come by for the Huskers these past few years.
We're always about throwing more touchdown passes. You know, the red zone in general is a point of emphasis. We're going to emphasize the heck out of it. That's when you win or lose football games. And we want touchdowns, not field goals, obviously. You know, part of being in the red zone, just like in the open field, is executing and not beating ourselves. You know, it seems like last year we had, whether it was a penalty, turnovers, inopportune times, that has nothing to do with our opponent. That's us. So the biggest thing, you know, executing, take care of ourselves. I mean, no penalties, protecting the football, doing the right assignment. And what that does, that gets you into where you're ahead of the sticks, whether it's the red zone of the field, where you can take more shots, you know, and throw the ball down the field more, which has been a point of emphasis, you know. So it's a combination of things, but I think the red zone's a lot like the open field. Now, the red zone's harder. I mean, the defense has less space to cover, and so it really forces you to execute. And part of it's just it's a mindset saying, hey, you know, I'm not going to have as much room. I got to win my one-on-one battle, whatever position I am. And competing, and because the defense, that's a big deal of defense too. They want to stop you when they're in the red zone.
This is just what I love hearing out of the coaching staff these past few weeks or these past few months. They really look themselves in the mirror and the whole entire team in the mirror, and they're trying to get down to the bottom of what the core problem is or the core problems are for this team. And one of them is passing in the red zone and just touchdown passes in general. And I wholeheartedly believe that Lubick is ready to try and figure that out and to right that wrong, because this is Scott Frost's offense. And one thing he is known for is the deep ball, the bomb, the big play. And those are tutters. And we got to get to that. We got to see at least some form of that if Scott Frost is this offensive guru that everyone says that he is, okay? And you know what? I kind of may sound very pessimistic at times, but dude, I just want this team to succeed. I want this team to do better, and I believe that we have the talent to do that. And I just want to end it on this, okay? I want to end it on Lubick just praising his tight ends. This is all the audio we're going to talk about today, but just listen to this. This gets me very, very excited.
Question. Yeah, the scouts should be looking at those guys because, you know, I think my last year at Oregon, we had three tight ends that all went to the NFL. And these are the best two that I've ever been around from a consistency, leadership, and just the way they practice. Coach Beck does a great job with them. They're making plays. We ask a lot from our tight ends because they have to be point of attack in the run game, but we also split them out as wide receivers. And they have to be able to make plays in the passing game. And so it's a lot on them mentally and physically, and they've done great. And they're leaders of our football team. I mean, the way they lead by example and how hard they practice is contagious, and it spreads to other guys.
I love that. I love to hear that about dudes that have been there for a while. Because, yes, don't get me wrong, the defense is old. They got experience. But this offense, they may have age due to transfers, but the experience there, the real D1 football game time experience, or wearing that and strapping it up and putting that helmet on in Memorial Stadium or in other Big Ten schools around the country, it's very slim, or there's hardly even any on the offensive side of the ball. So knowing that Lubick knows that, yo, I got some tight ends that could be some of the best in not only the conference, but in the country, gets me so excited, guys. I'm pumped. I'm out here overreacting about just a couple quotes. We've only had 5 practices. Okay, guys, I'm excited. I hope you are too. Everyone, have a good day. Have a good night. I don't know when you're going to listen to this, but GBR as always, Fook Iowa and Fook Dahawk.
Somebody once told me the world is going to roll me. I ain't the sharpest tool in the shed. She was looking kind of dumb with her finger and her thumb in the shape of an L.